Okay, let's dive into these sources. They're painting a pretty serious picture here about a cybersecurity event.
Well, the scale is almost hard to believe.
Yeah, it really is.
We're looking at a single data breach, but it involves over 4 billion records. Just think about that number, 4 billion.
Mm.
So our goal in this deep dive is, you know, cut through the noise, understand what really happened, what kind of sensitive info got out, who's at risk, and maybe most importantly, what it means for you.
And what really jumps out looking through these reports, it's not just the sheer number, although, I mean, 4 billion is staggering.
Yeah.
Especially for a leak out of China.
Right.
But it's the kind of data, the variety, and how you could potentially link it all together. This isn't just like a simple phone list.
No.
It's pieces of a puzzle. Put them together,
yeah.
And you could build these incredibly detailed pictures of people.
That ability to combine things.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's exactly what makes us feel so concerning. So, okay, let's get right to it. How did this even surface? What's the story? Well, according to the sources, it was found by a cybersecurity researcher, Bob Giachenko, over at securitydiscovery.com. He was working with the cyber news team.
Okay.
And they basically found this enormous database just sitting out there.
Exposed.
Sitting out there.
Easily accessible, like anyone could see it.
Exactly. Completely unprotected, no password needed, no checks, nothing. It was basically an open vault.
Wow.
And the size of it, huge.
Yeah.
631 gigabytes of data.
631 gigs. And that huge size translates to how many records again?
Over 4 billion individual records.
Yeah.
And the timeline, the reports say discovery was around May 19th, 2025.
Okay.
And then it became public knowledge more recently, June 9th, 2025. And they're really stressing this point. 4 billion records, that scale, it's unprecedented for identified Chinese data breaches.
Unprecedented scale, found totally unprotected.
Okay.
Let's get specific now. What kind of personal information was actually in this 631 gigabyte, treasure trove for attackers?
Right. So the database itself was split into 16 different sections or collections, but several of them contain really, really sensitive stuff, especially when you think about how many records are in each.
Okay, let's break down those main ones. What were they?
So the biggest one seems to be WeChat user data. That's over 805 million records.
800 million.
Yeah. User IDs, account information, and this is concerning, potentially communication metadata.
Metadata meaning? Like who you talk to and when, maybe where.
Exactly. Maybe not the message content, but the who, when, where, that kind of thing. And other logs too.
Over 800 million WeChat accounts potentially compromised. That's just massive. What else was big?
Next up, residential information. Over 780 million records there.
Okay.
Things like home addresses, geographic IDs, maybe even where people have lived before, their residential history.
So communication links and physical location. Yeah. What about money? Financials.
Oh, yeah. Financial data. That's another huge one. Over 630 million records.
630 million. Wow.
And this is the really direct stuff. Payment card numbers, bank account details, dates of birth, phone numbers, names, all tied directly to money.
That's immediately terrifying. Just on its own. 600 million financial records.
And it gets even sort of deeper on the identity side. There's an identity verification data collection. Over 610 million records.
Verification data. Right?
Things like government ID numbers, links between phone numbers and usernames, even details about three-factor authentication processes.
Wait, the actual steps used to prove you're you, like with multiple devices.
Yeah, information about that process, which you can imagine is incredibly valuable if you're trying to break into accounts.
Wow. Okay, so they get details on the very things meant to protect you. What about payments? Anything specific there?
Yeah. Tied specifically to payments, there's Alipay payment information.
Mm-hmm.
That's over 300 million records.
I'm healthy.
And the sources say this includes things like payment card tokens. You know, those stand-in numbers used to mask your real card. Those tokens, information about transaction capabilities, even account access credentials, basically how payments are connected and approved, that opens up huge doors for fraud.
So those are the really big categories. Massive volume, super sensitive data. But you said 16 collections.
Yeah.
The sources mentioned other types too.
Yeah, they did. Things like gambling activities, vehicle registration data, employment info, pension fund details, insurance records, even some information flagged as Taiwan related.
Oh, yeah.
All those were in there. And this is where that idea of correlation really hits home, you know?
Right.
Having all these different pieces, where you live, who you talk to, your bank details, how you pay, where you work, even hobbies like gambling, all potentially in one place. It lets attackers build these incredibly detailed sort of multidimensional profiles of people.
That ability to connect the dots.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
makes the data way more dangerous, doesn't
yeah.
it? So, okay, given this huge detailed pile of data, who exactly is at risk here?
Well, the primary groups the reports point to are pretty clear. You've got the 800 plus million WeChat users, the 300 plus million Alipay users, and then the 630 plus million people whose banking info was in that financial data set.
So basically, hundreds of millions of Chinese citizens.
Primarily, yes. But the sources also suggest, you know, if you use any of these services, or if your personal or financial data is tied into that Chinese digital ecosystem somehow, you should probably assume your data could be part of this.
And does that include people outside mainland China, like international users of WeChat or Alipay?
Correct. The advice seems to extend to them, too. They should also be thinking about protective steps.
Okay. So what are the immediate dangers, the threats people face right now?
Well, the obvious ones are things like identity theft, financial fraud, but also, you know, unauthorized payments using those card details or tokens, account takeovers, because they might have info needed to get into other linked accounts, and very targeted, very convincing phishing campaigns, because attackers suddenly know so much about you.
And looking down the road, what about the longer term worries?
This kind of data enables some really sophisticated long-term threats. Think about, like, comprehensive behavioral profiling, understanding habits, vulnerabilities.
Scary.
Yeah. There's also the potential for state-sponsored surveillance using this data, large-scale social engineering attacks that are super personalized, even things like blackmail or extortion if the data reveals sensitive activities or financial situations.
Let's really focus on how criminals might use this correlated data. You mentioned building profiles. Can you walk us through that a bit more? How does that actually work?
Right. What makes this breach so potent, according to the analysis, is how combining these different data types just amplifies the threat massively. So if an attacker has your address and your bank details and maybe records of who you communicate with, they can build this incredibly accurate picture of your life. They can figure out potential weak spots, maybe predict your financial habits. They could spot people who might be vulnerable to specific investment scams, say, based on what they see in the financial data.
Oh.
Or they could craft phishing messages that are just eerily specific. So specific, they seem totally legitimate.
So instead of some generic scam email, it might mention, I don't know, a place you actually went or a recent transaction pulled from this data.
Exactly. It might reference a specific past payment or a location or even a contact you have. And this detailed knowledge enables all sorts of financial exploitation, like using those exposed card tokens for fraud.
Right.
Using the authentication data they found to try and take over accounts, impersonating you using that combined personal and financial info, or tailoring investment scams based on what they know about your money situation.
Given the size, 4 billion records, and this combination of data, it really feels like it could be the biggest breach of its type, doesn't it? Is that what the reports say?
Yes. Based on the analysis and the sources, that's confirmed. It's the largest single source leak of Chinese personal data that's been identified so far.
How does it stack up against other big ones we've heard about from that region?
The sources give some comparisons, which helps put the 4 billion in perspective. There was a big one involving Weibo, Didi, maybe even Shanghai Communist Party data. That was around 1.5 billion records combined.
Still huge, but less than half this.
Right. Then there was another leak linked to a mysterious actor. That was about 1.2 billion records. And one targeting iPhone user data was around 62 million. So while those were definitely large, none of them really come close to this 4 billion record exposure.
Okay, it sounds massive and frankly pretty terrifying.
Yeah.
So for someone listening right now, someone who thinks they might be affected, what practical steps can they take right now based on the advice in these sources?
Okay, the reports lay out some clear actions. First thing, focus on your financial security. That means monitor your bank accounts, your payment services, like constantly.
Keep a close eye on them.
Yes. Turn on transaction alerts everywhere you can so you know immediately if something happens. If you see anything suspicious, consider putting a temporary freeze on your cards. And, you know, pull your credit reports regularly.
Okay. Vigilant financial monitoring. Got it. Step one. What's next?
Second, tackle account security directly, especially for platforms like WeChat and Alipay, but also anything connected. Change your passwords right away. Make them strong, unique ones.
And the same password everywhere.
Definitely not. And crucially, enable two-factor or multi-factor authentication wherever possible. Those extra layers are vital now. go through your account permissions, see what apps you've allowed access, clean that up.
Good idea.
And it's probably smart to log out of all your sessions on all devices, then log back in securely, kind of reset things.
Right, like a full digital security refresh for those key platforms.
Exactly. And third, just generally boost your privacy protection habits. Mm-hmm. Be way more cautious about what you share online from now on. Mm-hmm. Be super skeptical of unexpected messages, calls, offers, especially they seem to know things about you. Always, always verify who's contacting you through a separate channel you trust before you share anything.
Don't just trust the incoming message.
Never. And report suspicious stuff you see to the platform or authorities.
Okay, those are really important immediate actions. What about longer-term strategies?
For the long haul, the advice includes making regular security checkups of your online accounts just a normal habit. Consider enrolling in an identity monitoring service, maybe. That could give you an early warning if your data pops up somewhere bad.
Okay.
Keep reviewing and tightening privacy settings on all your platforms. And honestly, just keep learning about cybersecurity, increasing your own awareness, maybe your family's too. It's an ongoing thing that really helps.
Yeah, one of the really frustrating things highlighted in the sources is we don't know who is responsible for this database, right?
Mm.
Why couldn't the researchers figure out who owned it?
Yeah, that's a major challenge here. The researchers who found it, Diachenko and the Cyber News team, they reported finding no clear signs of ownership. No attribution headers in the data, nothing in the structure pointing to a specific company or entity. Hmm. The servers, the infrastructure hosting it, it was apparently set up anonymously, designed to hide the origin. And importantly, it was taken down very quickly after they reported discovering it. Ah, so that limited any further digging.
Exactly. Limited further investigation into where it came from. No digital breadcrumbs left behind, essentially.
Which means no obvious culprit to point fingers at.
Right. And because it's anonymous, there hasn't been any clear way for official notifications to go out to all those affected users, which is a huge problem.
Yeah, and it means getting help or seeking any kind of recourse must be incredibly difficult for individuals.
That's right. The anonymity really limits things like legal action or trying to get compensation.
The sources also had a sort of FAQ section addressing common questions. Are there any other key takeaways from that part of the analysis?
Yeah, a big point they hammer home there is the uncertainty for individuals. Since the owner's unknown and there's no official notification, the advice is basically practical. If you use WeChat, Alipay, or other big Chinese digital services, you just have to assume your data might be compromised.
So act as if it is and take those protective steps.
Exactly. Monitor everything, secure your accounts like we discussed. And it confirms legal options are pretty much off the table because of the anonymity.
Yes. The reports basically state that legal recourse is very limited without clear attribution.
So for people who really rely on these platforms day to day, should they just stop using WeChat and Alipay? Is that the advice?
Well, the sources don't seem to explicitly say stop using them entirely. It's more like strongly advising users to implement major security upgrades before they continue using them.
Okay.
So update those passwords, enable every single extra security layer like multi-factor authentication that the platform offers, lock things down as much as humanly possible.
What is it, beyond just the massive number, that makes this breach feel particularly different or more dangerous than others we've seen?
It really comes back to that core point we talked about earlier. The combination of the sheer scale 4 billion records is just enormous, and the comprehensiveness of the data types included.
Right, the variety.
Exactly. Having financial, residential, identity, and communication data all potentially linked, that allows for a level of profiling, both behavioral and financial, that's way more powerful for targeted attacks than just having, say, a list of names and emails.
It's the linking, the correlation. That's the unique danger here.
That's really it. That's what elevates the threat.
And finally, did the sources offer any insights for businesses, especially those operating in the region or using these platforms? What should they be thinking about?
Yeah, for businesses, the advice is pretty urgent. Review your own data security practices, look hard at your vendor relationships, especially related to data, implement better monitoring for any potential misuse of data connected to your business, and make sure your incident response plans are up to date and ready to go.
Okay.
And specifically thinking about protecting against these correlation attacks, focus on data minimization, only collect what you absolutely need. Amp up employee training, especially on social engineering threats. Use advanced threat detection tools and keep those response procedures current.
And given that it was taken down so fast and it's anonymous, it sounds like we might not get many more details unless, law enforcement somehow tracks down the source.
That seems to be the indication from the reports, yes. Further details, maybe identifying the owner? That might really depend on whether official investigations manage to get anywhere.
Okay, so let's try and wrap this up. We've been talking about a data breach just staggering in size, over 4 billion records found completely exposed. And this data, it's like a deeply personal mosaic, right? Covering everything from where you live, who you talk to, your bank details, how you pay.
Yeah, incredibly comprehensive.
It impacts hundreds of millions, especially users of WeChat and Alipay.
Yeah.
Possibly even international users. And the key takeaway isn't just the data loss. It's the exposure of linked information that enables really sophisticated tailored attacks, profiling, targeted fraud.
Mm.
It's confirmed as the largest leak of its kind identified from China. And frustratingly, the owner is unknown, which really complicates things for everyone affected. But we have outlined those crucial steps individuals and businesses need to take, like right now, to try and protect themselves.
This whole incident really just throws a harsh spotlight on how vulnerable we are, doesn't it?
Yeah.
When vast amounts of our personal information get collected and then aren't properly secured in this interconnected world.
Absolutely. And maybe here's something really significant for you, the listener, to think about. When you have a breach of this scale, this complexity, where all these diverse linked data sets get exposed and the source just vanishes, remains anonymous, what does that actually mean for the future? For digital privacy, for security, not just in one region, but globally? When you can't even point to who's responsible, where does the responsibility really lie? Is it with the platforms holding the data, with the individuals whose lives are laid bare? Or is it something bigger about how we structure our digital lives in this new reality?
Yeah.
It really forces us to think beyond just this one leak, doesn't it?